Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to you. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. Alive to Love is my calling in this particular half an hour of your life and time with me. Alive to Love, I believe lesser values than love devolve into BS, which can be a lot of things that you might have in your interpretive thoughts. But for me and my purposes here, it is bait and switch. Yes, that's it. So, I believe that if we're baiting and switching people, we are not treating them with the simplicity of love. We are not treating them with the complexity of love. We're treating them with, I'm going to show you this, but I'm really going to do the other thing. I'm going to bait you, and then I'll switch. Love does not bait and switch. Love does not BS. Love lives large and with courage. So we're going to talk today about the seven principles of how to treat each other with love. So before we get there, we do a few things routinely here on my radio broadcast. And again, welcome. I'm truly honored that you would give me a half an hour of your life and time. That really means the world to me. And I promise you, I'll give you something to think about, even something to disagree with. So we'll just get there with seven principles, simple principles of how to treat each other with love. But we do some things purposefully as a routine here, and one of them is to recite Love's Creed, something I wrote as a New Year's resolution several years ago. It became a creed for me and a creed written by me. I guess that's convenient, isn't it? So to that end, I offer this edited version down through the years as something that I think is helpful for, I know it's helpful for me, and I hope it can be helpful for you to keep these words just echoing inside of your meditations and your thoughts, especially when you're challenged to do something less than love. This creed, I think, can help hold you steady. Then after the creed, I'll lead you in the Lord's Prayer. But here we go with the Love's Creed. And to that end, I'll give it to you in full, and then we'll come back. I'll repeat it for you in short bursts so you can repeat after me. All right? Here we go. Here it is in full. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I got to tell you, every time I read it, and it's dozens, scores, maybe hundreds of times, every time I read it, it lands in some good places in my life and some convicting places, as if I'm being convicted in a court of my own making. This is what I'm alive for, and it's love, not for other things. So to give it to you, if you'd like this in total, I'd be happy to send you an email with a written copy of it. I'm not compiling an email list. Trust me here. I'm not going to bait and switch you. I'm only here to serve you and to serve you with love. If you'd like a copy, you could send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail. I'd be happy to send you a copy. You could put it on a 3x5 card or in your phone or in your computer or on your tablet so that's readily available for you and it becomes something of a daily mantra, a meditation. All right? Repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs. Locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Make that something that you give yourself the chance to hear your own voice saying it. That's how creeds work. You hear what you believe, then you believe what you hear, and then that circular meditation, contemplative process really does etch it into your soul and a part of who you are. So give that your full attention on some level if you'd like. Now, I want to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. I do love the Lord's Prayer. I just spent the last week here on WPCA Radio with a morning meditation, a five-minute meditation each day for 5 days, and I've spent all 5 days on some form or another of the Lord's Prayer. I really enjoyed it. I never get weary of it when I recognize I'm taking the words of Jesus and I'm speaking those words in prayer, recognizing that Jesus always gets his prayers answered, always. Well, here's a prayer he prayed, taught me to pray, and he wants me to enter into a closet, into a private space with God and say these words. So if you know it, you can repeat with me, or if you don't know it, just let me carry you along with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Here we go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, that prayer includes the phrase of trespasses, that we would be wary of holding unforgiveness toward anyone who would trespass. Now, trespassing is often related to how people come into your property and they hunt or they fish or they just kind of lollygag on your property without your permission. In the day of Christ, a trespass was so easily done that it could become an easy irritation, an easy accommodating of hatred inside of you for people who just walk across your yard. Now, the point of that is that unlike most of our modern dwellings, a home in the day of Christ in an urban setting wouldn't always have the real solid markers of this is my property and that's your property, or this is the sidewalk or the road. Those markers were not as clearly defined for the public around you. So it wouldn't be unusual, like if you had a what we call a cow path for people to just cut across your yard as they're walking through a town or a little village. And then in a way, and in a very specific way, they're trespassing, aren't they? And you could set in your home or in your small dwelling or small piece of property, and you could simmer all day long. You could seethe with just this sense of being trespassed against by so many people. It would just fill your meditation, wouldn't it? There goes somebody else walking across my property. Somebody else is cutting across. Somebody else stepped on the corner of my property. Here's what I would encourage you to see for yourself. While we have far more clearly marked parameters for our properties now, trespassing is a lot easier to recognize if you're doing it or if it's been done. For our everyday life, while we're walking through whatever community setting, whatever sidewalk or grocery store or gas station, you name it, wherever we're walking, wherever we're going, and in interactions with people, it's very easy to see how people are existentially trespassing against you, against your opinions, against your ideas and your feelings and your thoughts. And so you could seethe all day long, like I shared with you a moment ago about sitting in your little piece of property and seethe with the trespassing steps on your plot of your own personal dwelling. Or you could say, God, forgive us our trespasses, because as others are trespassing on my property, and in the secondary part of this where I shared with you, as you're walking through life, as I am standing in a line or I'm walking through a space, I have no idea, really, I have no idea that I may be trespassing on somebody's personal space. I may be trespassing on their thoughts as I'm sharing my thoughts. Somebody might be inadvertently stopping on this broadcast. Hello, welcome. And they may not like anything I'm saying, so to that degree, I could be trespassing on their feelings. All that to be said, the trespass is to recognize that I am as easily trespassing as I am trespassed against. Now, that leads me to my topic for today, 7 simple practices for how to treat each other with love. So it gets right down to simplicity, doesn't it? The simplicity of practicing love, I think, is found in some form or another in the following 7 matters. Now, this first one hits me hard. It hits me right between the eyes. I know this to be true. My wife will tell you this is true, and that is, drum roll, please, listen deeply. Yes. I'm 71. I'm hard of hearing. I have some hearing aids that aren't really reliable of late. And so I find myself routinely struggling with listening deeply. Now, it's not just a physical thing, because as physicality has impaired my hearing, I've gotten lazy and lax in my capacity for listening deeply. The same is true for all of us on some level or another. To listen deeply means we absorb words that are coming toward us either in writing or in verbal communication. We absorb them with some degree of instantaneous contemplation. What are they saying? How are they saying it? What is the method of their saying? See, most of communication isn't verbal. Most communication is with eye contact, body language, hand motions, the various facial expressions. Most communication is carried in our physicality. And in order to listen, it's important to listen deeply, to see beyond what we think we're hearing to what really is being said. That's the first simple principle, simple practice for acting with love toward people that might otherwise be trespassing. Second of all, it's learning how to live in an advice-free way of thinking. I love to tell people the best advice you give people is welcomed and invited advice. This is something important to consider when you're in some, especially a longer conversation with somebody, recognizing that when you have a word of advice, before you give it, before those words tumble out your mouth, it's important to ask, am I being asked for this advice? Or is this uninvited advice? The worst kind of advice is advice you give when somebody didn't say, what do you think? What would you do? How would you approach this? Now there's an open invitation. And even in that, consider what it is that's really being asked of you. So listen deeply and create an advice-free zone all around you. Remember this. All voices have some kind of value. Remember, everybody's got a voice on some level, so that at the level of somebody's voice, those words that come tumbling out of that person's mouth have some significance in their life, even if it isn't significant to you. So to recognize that somebody's voice has value is to really... it's to really start a connection with somebody that can carry you so far in love, to recognize that with love, that person speaking has a value, then you should listen deeply, right? And create some kind of advice-free zone in your thoughts. This is how to simply love people around you. So there's three. Listen deeply, create an advice-free zone, and remember, every voice you hear has value. And the next part of this is one, two, three, four, maintain confidentiality. Hoobaduba, this one is huge. This piece of my list here cannot be overemphasized. Maintaining confidentiality. I really take this to an extreme in my life. I've made mistakes with it through the years, and I have regretted every mistake, small or great. And I've recognized that when people speak to me on any level, I've got to hold that in love to recognize with the value somebody spoke to me, that maybe they're not interested in me putting their name on their comment going forward. Now, I could rearrange the words into some other form and then minus the name of the person who spoke those words as not as an experience, but as their own advice. But I have to just maintain a guard on confidentiality, because I've discovered, and I've had this happen to me way more than I can count, I've discovered that there's a lot of things that I've said in life that I was in hopes would be confidential, that I found out later that a person receiving it not only didn't see it as confidential, they saw it as a way to put it on an emotional billboard and say, Randy said, or Pastor Randy said, and then proceed to say what I said when I didn't offer it as a public comment, or they'll say what I said in their own version of it. That's not love. That's the opposite. But love practices confidentiality as a way of life. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but I'm going to say you should reach for that perfection. Remember something I say here often. Love is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Love is not a once-for-all deal. Love is a lifelong pilgrimage. It's a mountain climb, not just a walk around the block. Love will require of us the heavy lifting, the hard work of disregarding and seeing what has been offered to us as confidential before anybody would say, please keep this between us. I'm going to default on the side of keeping it between us more often than not, because I'd rather have them come back and say, oh, hey, you could feel free to share that, rather than to come at me and say, I can't believe you just told people what I told you. That hurts. And I know how it hurts because it's come back my direction. So, first of all, the simple practice of love is to listen deeply. Secondly, it is to create an advice-free zone. Then, number three is to remember all voices have value. Then, Number five, the numbers are getting mixed up with me. Sustain confidentiality. Now, number six. Now, this one I really love doing this. It's helpful and it's healthy. Practice asking questions, good questions. Ask questions that aren't trying to get what you want out of somebody, but ask a question, and you could even say, this might be a dumb question. And somebody might respond and say, there is no such thing. If that's the case, fine. But if not, maybe you'll discover your question isn't so dumb after all. Practice asking questions. What do you mean when you say? Repeat back for people what you're hearing when you listen deeply. But also remember that when you're asking questions, you're loving. You're showing interest in a person's life. Again, I want to tell you, I'm learning this. This has been a lifelong practice for me. Love has been a lifelong practice. And these practical and simple pieces of direction, they're going to require a lot of my thoughts and my meditation and my attention to the details. Asking good and honest questions. I mean, don't be dishonest or disrespectful with a question, but be as honest and open about it as you know how. All right? Number six. Now, this one will go to the practice that we do here every No BS Bishop, and that is the breathing exercise. But here's the context of something I want to offer you today in the context of the simple practices of love. And that is practice slowing down. Oh, my. Here in the 21st century, we don't do slow down well. In fact, one of the great diseases of our current culture is the act of being busy. Oh, I'm so busy. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. Once again, I'm not practicing this perfectly, but I am learning that being busy is no sign or a badge of honor. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're productive. Busy can be just an excuse for not getting honest things done in your life, and being busy might be a terrible excuse for not being loving, for not practicing love. Oh, I was just so busy. I was so distracted. I'm sorry. I didn't love you as I should. Hear me carefully. Let's remove that kind of thinking from our minds. Let's practice slowing down. You know, when you have a schedule, give yourself some buffer time to get somewhere in an appointment so that you're not in a dead rush, a run. I just believe I'd rather get somewhere early, sit down, slow down so that I can love what I'm doing than to blow in a door, blow into an appointment, blow into a conversation where I'm not listening deeply or I'm not asking good questions, making assumptions. And by being late or being in a crunch for time, the practice of love suffers. I think you know what I mean. I think you can see what I'm talking about there. So practice slowing down. All right, last but not least, make room in all your conversations. Make room for unpopular answers. So, as I said earlier, if you're going to ask questions honestly, you might get an unpopular answer. So to be present with people, to be around somebody without the instant debate going on in your mind that you're going to fix, manage, control, recruit, and debate with somebody. See, that's codependency. Having the capacity to hear an unpopular answer, it's so healthy, and it is so loving. I believe love receives popular answers just as easily as they receive unpopular answers. How do I know that? Well, I take it from the words of Jesus when he tells us, love your enemies. Ooh, tall order, right? I say that because I know that. It's a challenge. This is the heavy lifting of love, but it's also a simple practice in love. To make room for people who have a different voice, a different answer, a different opinion than your own, is not to agree with everything people say, but it's to show them the courtesy of having loved them in their opinion, right or wrong. Yeah, that's... That's not the USA of today, is it? Wow, that is not how the United States of America is handling, in general, its relationships. We are not making space for unpopular answers. By the way, I think when I really do love, I am able to compromise even my own convictions without compromising my own soul. To that end, what I mean is I can listen to your answers and be able to compromise it into my own answers. To compromise is to like, it's like a mixing bowl when you're trying to, the one thing I cook is pancakes. So I know how to put just the right amount of Bisquick, the right amount of milk, and one egg in a batch for four pancakes. And sometimes I've got to put in a little more Bisquick depending on the milk or whatever it is that's going on. Point is, that's compromise. It's not a compromise of your convictions, excuse me, a compromise of your soul, but it might be a compromise of your own convictions, not to change your convictions, but perhaps to add someone else's conviction. Because, see, just as much as you have a conviction, other people have them as well. All right, if you want a list of this, you can send me that email and I'll send you a list. I'm running out of time. I won't review it now. But if you'd like these 7 simple practices of love, send me your email, randydeanministries@gmail.com. Be happy to send you a review of what I just walked you through. Now, as we close, let's slow down, shall we? Let's breathe well. On the count of 3, take the deepest breath you can, hold it, and then exhale slowly. 1, 2, 3. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Slow it down. And even though I'm looking at a timer that shows me I've got just about 4 minutes left, it slows me down so that I don't get in a crunch and fail to love you all who've given me a half an hour of your life and time. So here's how I go out with No BS Bishop of late. I want you to remember the biggest mistake we make is to think we have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. And to borrow from that previous quote, which I don't know who I'm quoting there, it's unknown, but it's love more. Love now. Light new light in the hearts of others, according to Mother Teresa. And according to Bishop Randy Dean, it's time for all of us to take the assignment of doing something beautiful. Whew. Why? Because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death all over the place. You don't have to journey far in life till you run into the ugliness of folks that are just determined not to love. Let's rise and shine above that. Let's be the people who are determined to love, no matter what the consequences, no matter how we're received or not received. Let's be the lovers of all humankind. Let's look somebody straight in the eye and say the 3 most magical, charmed words in the human language. I love you. Let's be sure that somebody has their life changed because we said something on that level that absolutely rocked their world. It's startling. It's awkward, I know. And it's startling and awkward because we don't practice this. So in order to do something beautiful, one of the simple offerings I would challenge you with is to say those 3 words with eye contact and intentionality. I love you. Those of you listening right now, you might not see me. Well, you can't see me, obviously. But I want you to imagine I'm looking right at you and I'm saying, I love you. Let's rise and shine to the beauty of those words. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and it's been a joy and a pleasure to be with you today. Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.